Hallelujah. Come on. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I give honor to Jesus Christ, who is the only answer, the only hope. Amen. There's not an alternative. There's not another God. He's the only answer. I have a message and not a sermon. Amen. And the message is from the Lord. He wanted me to tell you that He's still coming. He's still coming. And we need to be ready. Open your Bibles to Acts, the first chapter, the 10th through the 11th verse. Amen. Acts 1, verse 10 through 11. Acts, the first chapter. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," would you say that with me? "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." John 14, 1 through 3. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning with verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And all the church said, "Amen. Amen." "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Church, He's still coming. Plans have not changed. Time is still shorter than it's ever been before. Only our attitudes have changed. Not the promise, not the timing. Only our preoccupation with this life has affected our attitude toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what... please use me, Lord. Touch my lips with a coal from off the altars of heaven. I am nothing. Your word is so powerful. And I am so unworthy to stand before your children. But I know that you use men just like me to speak the word of the Lord. Help us to hear and understand and be ready. Help somebody who is not ready now, even after all of your moving, that they would get ready before this service is over. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "He's coming."
And you may be seated.
The disciples were talking to Jesus, and even right up to this very point, they didn't understand what the kingdom was all about. They had even asked Jesus, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said, "Well, it's not for you to know that time." Amen. And as he's talking about the promises that are going to come and has instructed them to go into the city of Jerusalem and there waits on the promise of the Father, which is the wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. Can somebody say amen? Isn't it wonderful to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Isn't it wonderful to talk in tongues? Hallelujah. And to feel that Shekinah glory of God. Amen. As I was sitting over there and on the chair and rehearsing in my mind what I was going to say and watching and participating with the worship, every once in a while it would burst out of me like a well of living water. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues. Oh, I wouldn't take anything for that. I wouldn't take anything for this experience that we have today. Amen. Let's never dilute it down. Let's never compromise it, but preach it with all of our might. Amen. And so he said, "Go and wait in Jerusalem, and you're going to be endued with this power from on high." And we don't know exactly how it happened, but the Bible says, while he was talking, he began to ascend up into the heavens. Now this is remarkable. Amen. This is Hollywood style stuff. Amen. Come on now. Some people pay $10 million to make a movie look supernatural. All our Jesus has to do is be normal. Amen. And he can just float away. What would you all think as I'm preaching here today if all of a sudden you would think, man, he's getting taller. Amen. And my head starts going up, and then all of a sudden you can see between the top of the pulpit and the bottom of my feet, and you say, oh my goodness, where is he going? He's floating away. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, some sweet day, he's going to come back, and we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up. Caught up. He's still coming. He's still coming. He said, you wait, and he left, and they're standing there like a mule looking at a new gate with their mouths hanging open. Amen. Their eyes bugged out. They don't know what to think about it. But then there was some angelic beings and some witnesses that came and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Get to work. This same Jesus is going to come back. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's not really a good word. We love to sing about our mansions over there, but it's not talking about a big house on the hill. Amen. It's talking about a living place. Amen. A place of abode. There is a place for me in God. Home is God. Amen. Say it with me. Home. You say, I'm not home here. No, I'm not home. I've been on the move. I married Charlotte, and I said, come on, baby, we're going to see the world. And we haven't slowed down yet. I've moved more than you. Amen. I've moved on the average of every 2.5 years. Maybe some of you can compete with that. Amen. I've been on the move. Amen. I tell you what, I get confused. Brother Greg, I don't know where home is sometimes. Matter of fact, it feels pretty good here. I've been thinking about staying. Amen. But everywhere I go and get it with God's people, it feels good. Where God is. Where God is. That's home. Woo, and he's here right now. Hallelujah. That's the reason you feel so good. That's the reason you feel at home right now. Because God is here, and wherever God is, that's home. Somebody said, where's God? I said, we'll find his children. Amen. Find his children, you'll find God. And he's here today. So we understand that he is going to come back because he has gone to prepare a living place for us, a residence. And I want to go. Numbers 20 and 23. Aaron is the high priest. The Lord spake to Moses in verse 23, saying these words in verse 24. Aaron, verse 24, is going to die. He's going to be gathered to his people. Verse 25, so I want you to go to the top of the mountain and take with you Aaron's son, Eleazar. Verse 26, and when you get to the top of the mountain, strip off his garments and put them on his son, Eleazar, because I'm coming to get Aaron. Now you have to understand that there was only one high priest, and that Aaron was the first high priest, custom made suit of clothes. Anybody could tell from a long distance who he was because of the clothes he wore. Nobody had a duplicate. It was illegal to duplicate the priest's garments. And so when he walked around Brother Modlin, he enjoyed a great deal of deference. People would step out of his way. He had a lot of power. He was the most important spiritual leader in the camp other than Moses himself. Amen. When Aaron spoke, people listened. He was the one that could go into the holy place and then once a year go on into the holiest of holies. This is one important dude. Amen. He is a very important character and he's got the clothes to prove it. Can I preach about that for a while? Amen. I told the brethren this morning, amen, Brother Greg, we all ought to wear black suits with a little turnaround collar. Amen. And everybody, be no Hollywood competition among the preachers. And when we walk in, they say, well, there's a man of the cloth. Walk into the airport. Yes, Father. Yeah. Just step right on up here to the front of the line. Amen. But we don't want to do that, and it's okay. I understand. But I'm telling you that the world needs to know who the men of God are, and we ought not to conduct ourselves in such ridiculous manner that they don't even know we're a preacher, let alone a Christian. Oh, the saints just love it when I beat up on the preachers. Amen. Woo! I'm going to preach till I'm tired. So just sit back and relax, dinner. You don't even have to go home to eat. We're going to eat right here. Amen. So everywhere Aaron walked, everybody, hey, here comes the high priest. But one day, God said, I'm coming to get Aaron. Did he know it? I don't think so. Because the Bible says in the New Testament, we don't know the hour or the day. Now that's not doctrine, that's my private opinion. To me, Aaron woke up in the morning, had his cup of Jacob's cafe. You can take your Folgers home with you. Amen. And he ate his toast, and he didn't eat any bacon. And he walked out that morning and Moses had been up talking to God early in the morning and already heard from him. He said, Aaron, come here, I got something to tell you. Oh, all right. And he walked over and Moses said, I just heard from God. And he said, we're going up to the top of Mount Hor today. The good news is God's going to be there to take you. The bad news is you're not coming back. And we're going to take your son, Eleazar, because he is your follow-up. He's going to take your place. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how smart you think you are. God's got somebody in line to take your place. Can I preach today? This kingdom is not going to fall because I fall. This kingdom is not going to fall because I die. It's going to go on. Hallelujah. Because this church is not going to be in trouble because you're not here. Amen. This church, matter of fact, this church might not be as good as it could be because you're here. Amen. Somebody said, I'm looking for the perfect church. I said, don't go to it because when you find it, you'll make it imperfect. Amen. Now that's old, that's who's your preacher? This boy's from Indiana. He's all right. Take good care of him. Y'all take good care of him. Vaughn, right? Yeah, I'm supposed to know his granddaddy. I think I do. Amen. He said, what? He said, we're going to the top of the mountain. God's coming. Oh. Hadn't planned on that. I guess I'll cancel my lunch appointment. Don't have to pay my credit card this month. Oh, today, you mean today we're going to the top of the mountain. Yeah, that's what God said. So go get Eliezer. We're going to take off right now. Oh, he had his garments on, walking around real important. I mean, he's the high priest. And somebody had already greeted him that morning and said, good morning, Aaron. How are you today? Thank you for being here. Thank you for being our leader. Let's imagine that it's 1,500 steps. I didn't figure this out. Matter of fact, God gave this to me in this service. I may not get to the rest of my notes, brother. Don't worry about it. But this is so good. This is fresh bread from heaven. 1,500 steps. And so they started up the mountain. Oh, my spirit is troubled. 1,500 steps. 1,499. 1,498. 1,497. And he looks behind him and the camp is getting further away. People are watching him. Wonder where they're going. Moses and Aaron's going to the top of the mountain. Must be something special. Amen. 500 steps later, he stops and looks back and the camp's a little smaller. But the people can still see the robes. It's not that far yet. And yeah, that's Moses, and there's the high priest. I can see by his garments. And there's his son, Eleazar. They go up another 500. And then finally, he takes the last step. And Moses said, I'm going to take your high priest garment off of you. And they stripped him of his garments and placed them on his son. And his ministry was over. And God took him that day. You don't realize how many steps you've got left before you're to the top of the mountain. And God is going to say, I'm going to take you now. I've come by to tell you, he's still coming. He's still coming. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to get a bad attitude. I don't want to get any bitterness in my heart. I don't want to have any hate against my brother. I don't want to be worldly. I don't want to be sinful. I don't want to be like the flesh wants me to be. My flesh does not want to live for God. My flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to crucify my flesh one more time. I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to say, not my will, but thine be done, O God. He's coming, friends. He's still coming. Oh, there are some scoffers and there are some mockers that are saying, where is the promise of his coming? All things remain the same since our fathers fell asleep. You may be seated. But ladies and gentlemen, he's still coming. Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. I say, thank you, Jesus. You didn't know you was beautiful, did you? It says everything. And I'm a thing. So I'm beautiful. Watch out how you talk about me. Because God made me beautiful. And also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, the beginning of what? Our life. And or the world, as we know it. The end of what? Our life. Or the end of the present world that we live in. You see, time means absolutely nothing to God. Nothing. He is timeless. He has no beginning. And He has all for each one of us called time, and we live in it, and we can't get out of it until He says so. And when He says so, you can't stay in it, no matter how bad you want to stay in it, because when He says, time's up, everybody out of the pool, come on, it's over, get out. Huh? Time. So what did He do? He put the world in our hearts. The world, according to the original language, means time out of mind, past or future, eternity, amen, beginning of the world. Ecclesiastes in the Amplified verse says it like this. I think they've got it back there. Those IT guys are so smart, they can talk in many languages. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. That is a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. In our hearts is eternity. In our hearts is a, God spoke to me several days ago about this service, and then the thing about going to the top of Mount Hor just in this service alone. There's something throbbing in my spirit. He's still coming, church. It's not time to be mad. It's time to get glad. It's not time to follow Hollywood. It's time to follow the cross of Jesus Christ. He's still coming. It's burning in me. It's burning in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3:14-15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Somebody say hallelujah. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. That which hath been is now, and that which hath already been, that which is to, excuse me, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Somebody said it's a new thing. I doubt that. Amen. I doubt that. That's not what the book says. God knows in your life that which is past. Sins that are unrepented of will not disappear. They don't dim with age. They're there. He requires that which is past. If you have sinned, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, repent today and He will forgive you. But if you hide your sins, you will not prosper, but you will come to destruction. Amen. God, help us to have that world in our heart, that eternity in our heart. I don't care what you think. I want to be right with God. I don't care what I have to do. I got to be right with God, because there's something in me that says He's still coming. Amen. Whether it's by way of death or whether it's by the way of the rapture, doesn't make any difference. I have plans on spending eternity with Jesus Christ. That's where I'm headed to. I don't know where you're going, but I know where I'm going. I'm on my way to heaven. Where are you going, Aaron? I'm going to the top of Mount Hor. Amen. Somehow or another, I think God's merciful. You theologian may rip me apart for this after a while, but I believe that God wanted to take him home. I believe it was all right. Was he lost? I don't know. Was he lost? Tell me something. He doesn't know. Amen. Oh, I think they said, God, come. Where are you going, Aaron? I'm going to the top of the mountain. If anybody asks you where I'm going, you tell them, I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going on up the mountain. And someday I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Job 19:25. Job said it like this: with all of his troubles, with all of his pain, with all of his disappointment, amen, with all of his loss, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And so it's in us. We know there is life after death. We know he's coming. And God has sent me today that you will think again in eternal terms and stop thinking about temporal terms. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Somebody say hallelujah. Not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Amen. For ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. When Christ, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life. Say that again. Say that out loud with me. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stop looking down here and start lifting up your eyes, because your redemption is getting close. It's getting closer. It's getting close. He's still coming. He's still coming. He hasn't changed. He's still going to come. And I want to be ready. Amen. Set your things, your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Some of you love to read the news. I don't. Oh! You may be seated. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth. For ye are dead. He's still coming. See your hand. Is any nurses in the house? Man, I can't find any heartbeat. Are you alive or dead? Brother Umvari. Do you remember Brother Umvari from Hungary? Old pioneer, suffered under communism. They threatened him. They beat him before communism fell. And they threatened him with pistols. They said, we're gonna kill you. He said, you can't. He said, what? He said, I'm already dead. They got so disgusted. They said, this man is crazy. Get him out of here. Another time they threatened, said, we're gonna shoot you. And they put the pistol in. Said, oh, please don't shoot me there. Shoot me in the head. They said, why? Because Jesus is living in my heart. Amen. Come on. We are dead to this world. We are dead. It doesn't make any difference what Hollywood does or what the politicians do. Hallelujah. He's still coming. He's still coming. He's still coming. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered. Woo. Sound like Aaron, except maybe he wasn't ready. The time of my departure is at hand. Aren't you glad you don't know? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Thank you, Paul. But I'm glad he didn't end the scripture there. Not to me only. Hallelujah, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Not to me only, but unto all them that love. Would you just love for Jesus to come back today? If not, there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ. But those who are ready and those who have repented and those who believe are saying with the Spirit, let the bride and the Spirit say, come. Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Is there anybody that can say it with me today? Is there anybody that's got enough faith and your heart is clean enough and clear enough? Some of you are going to hesitate, but come on, we need to get right in this service. Is there anybody that can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. He is coming. He still is coming. He hasn't changed His promise. And He might come today. So where have you set your affections? What is your attitude? Would you want to be as angry as you are right now if the rapture took place? Would you want to be as bitter as you are if the rapture took place? No, 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 no. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be bitter. I just won't be right. And I have to work at it, boys. I have to work at it. My name is Charlie Stovall, and I've got some mean streaks in me. And I have to repent daily, and I have to watch out, and I have to crucify this flesh, and I have to bring my flesh under subjection, and I have to say over and over and over again, not my will, but thine be done. And I have to forgive. I have to forgive and forgive and forgive. People don't treat me right. Can you believe that? There's some folks don't treat me right. I don't understand it. As good and beautiful as I am, but they treat me bad. But every once in a while, I get that old feeling in my heart. Say, God, I got to let it go. Come and say, let it go. Come on, somebody say, let it go. We got to let it go. We got to let it go. We got to be heaven ready, rapture ready at all times. If Jesus was to return for the church right now, would you be ready? Remember, God requireth that which is past. In conclusion, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Do you know He's coming soon? It's not a question, it's a song. That's what I was afraid of. Can she play? Brother Modlin and Mama Wilkins, come and play. He's coming soon. We'll even get you a book. Sister Stovall, bring you the book with the words in it. This is an old song. This is how I grew up. This is one of the songs that used to bring people to the altar. Now, I love the new songs. Don't misunderstand me. I have to watch all the words. You sing songs. Most songs you sing, I've never saw before in my life. I don't know. But they're nice. I like them. But I know He's coming soon. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Read it with me, would you? Out loud. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling, come on, read, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, come on, read it with me. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Say it with me, unmovable. Come on, say it, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I grew up with tongues and interpretation. And when I was a child, it was, I'm coming soon. And oh, it would stir our spirits. He's still coming. We may not have the tongues interpretation, but he's still coming. Alma Fry was a sister in our church that, well, she was different. She really was, but she loved God. And her family wouldn't serve the Lord, and so her husband and some of her older children were at home, and we were having Sunday night service. And oh, God was moving. And I believe maybe tongues and interpretation had come. I can't really remember, but she had this sense he's coming. She ran out of the auditorium and into the hallway where there's a phone hanging on the wall. And the reason I know the story is because my cousin was the usher. He was standing there to keep all the kids corralled. You know why pastor's kids are mean? It's because they play with your children. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. Alma went running out of the church service and dashed up to the phone and jerked the receiver. And Alex, she dialed a number. She didn't push buttons. She dialed. Click, 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 click. You don't know anything about that, do you? Have you ever dialed a number? Click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. And somebody answered the phone and she said, Jesus is coming. And slammed the receiver down and ran back to the church. I thought about it this morning. And I said, are there any Alma Fries left in the church that will still run to a phone to call their family? Say, he's still coming. He's still coming. Sister Lassiter, he's still coming. I don't care what Hollywood said. I don't care what the critics say. He's still coming. He's still coming. Have you told anybody lately? We were kids. We used to play kick the can. Kick the can, anybody? Put a can out in the middle of the alley. I'm a city boy. I was raised in the city. You know, however many kids they are, there'd be one guy that was it, and he'd have to close his eyes standing there by the can, and he'd count. I don't remember how long, maybe to 20 or something. He'd count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Coming! Ready or not! And then he could open his eyes, and his job was to tag everybody before they could kick the can. And if he got everybody, he won. But his message was, coming, ready or not. Brothers and sisters, he's coming whether you're ready or not. Will you stand with me? I feel a very special need to give an old-fashioned altar call. And so as they start singing, this altar is open, not for people who know you're ready, but if your heart's not right, I admonish you in the name of Jesus Christ, come down here and stand before the Lord.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his return. It may be more, it may be bad or new.
We know. Can you sing a verse?
He's coming soon.
Oh, he's coming soon. Oh,
he's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming.
Let's come and stand before him. If you decided not to come, but you still know you need to do something, God is not going to hold a grudge. Come on and stand before him. Let's get ready to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a blast off one of these days. He's coming after a church that has made herself ready. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Oh, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome him. Oh, his returning. He's coming soon.
Come on, let's check our hearts out. Let's check our minds out. Let's check our spirits out. Hallelujah. Jesus. I know you're coming.
It may be more. It may be not order. We know he's coming soon. He's coming soon.
Yes, he's coming.
Oh, he's coming. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, brothers, grab a brother by the hand. Sisters, grab a sister by the hand. Sisters, put an arm around a sister. Brothers, grab a brother. Oh, Jesus, we want to be ready, God. We want to be ready, God. We don't know the day and we don't know the hour, God, but we just know that we got to be ready. Because ready or not, you're coming, Lord Jesus. Oh, we got to die daily to this world and to its influences. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, you're faithful, God. You're faithful and you're just, Lord Jesus.
With joy, we welcome his returning.
Pray, church. Pray. Pray, church. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Come on, there's a need here. Find a brother. Find a sister. Pray for him right now. Hallelujah.
Some of you are understanding the urgency. Some of you are understanding the urgency of the message. Oh, but some of you aren't. You need to close your eyes. You need to think about what it would be like to be left behind. You need to think about what it would be like. Oh, if your personal self-assessment is not right on target. Hallelujah, Jesus, help us, God.
He's coming.
Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
With joy, we welcome his return.